went to the other building. What happened to one or two people in my executive committee meeting? So maybe there'll be more people show up, but there are a lot of people that are out today. But we are officially going to start. Your agenda should be in your packet. I think we've introduced everyone around the table. It's definitely not the outside welcome, all the extras. But I think everyone around the table is going to reduce. Hopefully we're okay. We did have but some people had to get on the road. Lots going on during the summer. July meeting is always rough. So welcome everybody. The first thing we'll do really quickly is approve the minutes from last April 10th meeting. There's a copy in your, oh, never mind. Everybody just review those minutes. We don't have a form. We can't vote on them yet. I might do it later. Review those minutes. And there might be an email. So you don't have quite enough people online to answer. That's one worry. We'll get there. I do want to bring up a couple of things. We do have our service project coming up in October. Well, let me back up. Our October meeting is right next to the One Utah Summit that's in Southern Utah. So that is the evening of October 6th through all day on the 7th, all day on the 8th. Our board meeting is on the 9th. So a lot of us go to that One Utah Summit. We're going to have our meeting in person in Cedar City. We will still have a virtual option in at South County or through the link. That will be fine. But if you are going to the One Utah Summit, we're going to have our meeting down in Cedar City on October 9th. If you haven't been to the One Utah Summit, you should consider going. It's a really great event. It's combined now. There used to be the Governor's Summit in the spring and Economic Summit, and then the fall one in Southern Utah. Now it's just one. So everything as far as what's going on in the state, economic, industry growth, all that will be reported out. They usually have kind of a business day, what's going on, and then a leadership day is typically the format they follow. We have a few tickets available if anybody would like to go. You need to cover like your travel and hotel or whatever, but the actual registration fee for those 2 days, we do have a few tickets. So if there are people that are interested, if you're not already planning on going, if you could let Natalie know as soon as possible, and then we'll see how many people are interested, and then we'll let you know in August, I think, just in a few weeks, if we have a spot for you or not. We don't have room for everybody, but we do have room for some. It's a great event. Highly encourage you to go to it. It's actually just one big, awesome business party. It's really fun. And there's a ton of good information. Really good. The speakers are incredible every year. Highly recommend it. With that, our service project is typically in October. So we are going to try and work out if we can do some service at local food pantries. So we'll try and get connected with the Cedar City Care and Share food pantries to do some service for them. And then we're also going to coordinate service here on the Wasatch Front for that same day as a board, depending on where you go. So watch for a survey to go out in August, end of August. You'll need to commit if one of you're going to be in Cedar or in Salt Lake, so we can arrange with those local food shelters on what type of service we're going to do. But that's our help. Sound good? Questions about that? Okay. Next we have, you're on your own. Matt and Laura left.
Yes.
So they both had to go elsewhere. So the next thing on the agenda is our St. George certification. It happened just about 4 weeks ago, June 26th. Matt Liu, who's our youth chair, and Whitney Harris, who went as well, and then Laurel went, and she was here earlier today from Savage, went to do that one stop. Whitney, do you want to just tell us a little bit about your experience?
Absolutely. It was wonderful. It was great to see everyone in action and see what the One Stop Center does. And my favorite part was getting to shadow at the front desk and watch people walk away happier than when they walked in and see them receive those services that have really made a difference in their life. And so it was cool just seeing them walk away better than we found them. I love that. We talked to the representative for adult ed. What's his name? Talking to him a lot. And he talked about how he asked them, you know, well, what's your dream? And if you didn't, I cannot say this as good as Matt does, but I really appreciated that. It's not just limiting them to here's your services, but where do you want to be? What do you want to do? Where do you want to go? So it was a great experience, and I'm really glad that we were able to attend that. Can I make a motion yet?
Yeah, absolutely.
We have a quorum.
Okay. We have a quorum.
Oh, no. I can't vote on it.
This is Laurel. I'm here. I'm here online.
Oh,
sorry.
We're one more for a quorum. So if we just hang tight, we're going to vote on the minutes, and we're going to vote on George One Stop. Just hang tight. We're really close. Thank you, Sean, for getting on, because you're one step closer to being able to vote. I don't think you can hear me, but appreciate it. Oh, you just gave me a thumbs up. This is really nice on the side view. I can't see it what's behind it. And I can't see it what's over there on the other board.
We do have a quorum now.
Oh, all right.
I'll show you in 58 minutes.
So we have a motion on the floor to approve the minutes by second. Sarah and a second by Steven. All in favor. Oh, any vote, all in favor.
This is
an
exciting meeting.
Okay. We're gonna vote. Is everything on? All right. I'm gonna
We just lost her. Did we get the vote right before she left?
No, she dropped off right where you were. I'm sure.
You need to reverse your order.
I know. That's a good idea. I'm gonna switch it up for just a second, if that's okay. Can we do the workforce development outreach first? John, would you be all right with that?
Certainly.
Can you go first before the economic update?
You can throw a curveball.
So in your packet, you will want, while he's talking, this one.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'll make this quick.
Please remind everybody who you are, because we have a lot of.
Thank you.
I always
forget to introduce myself.
What your sphere of influence is.
So I'm John Talcott. I'm the assistant director over the Mountainland service area. So that includes Summit, Wasatch, Utah, and Juab counties. So I oversee our employment centers for the Workforce Development Division. We have six of them in my area. So that's who I am. And thank you for the reminder.
That's okay. Oh, and as a side note, I believe we are recertifying two of your centers in the fall.
We are.
Correct?
Yeah.
So Spanish Fork is coming up and Lehigh are coming up to do in the fall. So watch for those dates. I forgot to mention that.
Yeah. Okay. So in advance, I want to thank those of you that are going to come participate in that. It's always a great experience for us and for the board members that are able to participate. So I'm not going to go through everything here, but I want to highlight a couple things. We've all heard and seen the news relative to downsizing at the federal level, right? And so as a department, and particularly as a Workforce Development Division, we've been pretty connected to a lot of different things, including a career transition and resource connection fair that was held up in the northern part of the state. And this was in partnership with the Ogden Technical College and a wide range of other organizations and businesses that were part of that. And the idea was to connect some of those displaced federal workers to other employment opportunities up in that area. We participated and were one of the sponsoring entities for a career fair at the Advanced Learning Center. And this is in the Nebo School District. So we partnered with the Spanish Fork and Salem Chamber of Commerce, the Nebo School District, and a large number of businesses to hold a youth-specific career fair. But parents, there were also a lot of parents that were invited. Not in here, but I know of this event because it was in my area. But this was one of the, some of you got to see and experience the virtual reality headsets. This was one of the first events that we were able to take those to, and I think we had 8 or 9 youth and some parents that actually got to experience that virtual reality hands-on and do some career exploration as part of that event. So under the employer support, this was a pretty big deal, partnering with some staffing agencies and looking to hire some people in advanced manufacturing, and these were temp to hire positions, but there were over 200 positions that were open. And because of the success of the event, these staffing agencies and this employer partner that they have are looking to ramp that up and expand it and utilize the connection through workforce services to fill up to 700 more positions going forward. So that's pretty cool. We make it happen. Highlighting a couple things under the educational and community partner support. As you can see, and this is just a small sample of it, but there's three different connections we've had with high schools to engage students in either job fair activities or job preparation activities like mock interviews. And at New Inn Basin, we partnered with the Vernal Area Chamber on a business symposium. And this was for that whole Tri-County region out there. There were over 150 people from various businesses out in that area that were able to participate in that. Under our Veterans and Military Employment Services, you've heard about this before probably, but we have a pretty significant and ongoing commitment and participation in the Transition Assistance Program through Hill Air Force Base. And so the entry here in this particular update is just to revisit our ongoing activity that we have for transition service members that are coming through Hill Air Force Base. We had a National Apprentice Day job fair, and there were over 180 participants and 10 plus employers that were part of that. And so that was kind of the highlight. Hope I'm not speaking out of turn, Scott, but that was kind of the highlight of that particular day, and was a focus on that that stuff. And then the Workability Career Proficient and Job Fair. These are always huge events, and in this particular case, we had over 250 job seekers and more than 30 employers that participated in that particular event. Flipping over to the very last page, just a couple things on what's next. We have an upcoming job fair, the Utah Valley Job Fair. This is typically, and for the last number of years, has been one of the largest job fair events in the state of Utah. And we anticipate anywhere from 120 to 130 employers that are going to participate again this year. And last year, I want to say we had north of 3,000 job seekers that came through. So we partner with a lot of different organizations in the area, all of the schools, both higher ed and public ed, and the districts in that area to sponsor and pull off that event. And then just another plug for our virtual job fairs, actually no one today. The next one is on September 11th. So those of you employers, encourage you to look at that as an opportunity.
There's 1,000 people on the virtual fair right now.
Yeah,
that's a lot.
And then the last thing, contact info for everybody across all the service areas in the Workforce Development Division. So it's got our Workforce Development Specialists, our economists, as well as our service area directors. So feel free to reach out to any of us at any time if you need. That's my report.
Appreciate it so much. On the back, so that Utah Valley, if you're in the area and want to go to that, I would highly encourage you to do that. 3,000 bodies is about 2 pounds, one or two. And then the virtual fair, those virtual job fairs for your HR teams, literally, if you have, if you want to get on that September 11th one, if you haven't done that before, it is just the simplest thing to do. If you can sit there, register and just be on there, and then if somebody decides to step into your booth, you can talk to them, but you can literally just do whatever other, you know, emails or emails and stuff that puts on the top line. It's just a great, easy way for people to get in front of you, but you don't have to do a whole lot. So I think you can brand your booth, right? You brand your booth with your logo and everything, and then they just step in and you can chat about job opportunities. And it's pretty great. And we have a quorum. So right now, I would like a motion on the floor for St. George One Stop Center. If we get it.
So I motion to approve the recertification of the St. George One Stop Center.
Great. I need a second. I think Carl's going to type in a second if she wanted to.
I second.
There we go. So I have a motion and a second to recertify the St. George One Stop Center. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? So moved. I forgot to ask if there was discussion, but I think we're all here. Now let's approve the minutes. I have a motion on the floor to approve the minutes from Sarah and a second from Stephen. No, I've lost my Robert Rules of Order.
Okay, all those in favor?
All those in favor.
All, huh?
Yeah. Right, all those in favor.
Yeah, that's right. It's just like this. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Great. Still didn't ask about discussion.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about it.
Okay, we're good. Couple of announcements really quick before we, Ben, where'd you go? There you go. It's one of my favorite presentations, so I'm just, no pressure, getting ready for it.
Oh, yeah.
So just a sec. A couple of other things that I needed to let everyone know. Whitney Harris has, agreed to step in as our apprenticeship chair. We're very grateful. Whitney joined us, I think, 2 quarters ago about from Ram Company down in St. George. They're an aerospace manufacturer. Michael now resigned over this last quarter from the board, and so that left us vacant with an apprenticeship chair need, and they're building some solid machining, CNC machining, 5X apprenticeships down at Ram, so good fit there. And she has a co-chair, so we're not going to miss a beat with our apprenticeship committee, just moving along. So very grateful that she was willing to step into that role. Sydney Dixon, which I did not know, retired, and who is officially on the board, but Stephanie's been serving in her capacity since I can remember. So grateful that she's been doing that. But she was the superintendent for the state of Utah for the State Board of Education, and her new replacement is Molly Hart. Those of you that have not heard that, that way, okay, now I got through my stuff. So with that, we are going to jump into, we are a full quorum plus now, a little bit more than that, you being able to vote. That's good. So with that, we'll step into our economic update from Ben.
Great, thank you very much. Somebody's moving slides, I think.
Yes, Nicole, probably.
My name is Ben Crabb. I'm the chief economist of DWS. Thanks for having me. This is my second year giving this presentation, so it's still your favorite.
It is still my favorite. But I also heard you down at the Black
Desert.
It was a golf.
Oh, yeah, that golf.
Yeah, and you were great then, too. So we were fine.
Okay. I have some slides for you on the labor market situation in the state and sort of overall economic update for the state. So here we go, first slide. The first couple of slides just kind of recap where we've been the last 6 months, 8 months. It's been a period of uncertainty. I would say turbulence, but I think uncertainty is the better term. uncertainty has a sort of a pressing effect on people's willingness to, or ability to plan for the future, reduces consumer spending, delays investment, disrupts financial markets. We've seen all this in stock market indices and all kinds of concerns about tariffs. Are they on? Are they off? So the next few slides, next one, please, just kind of are some metrics reflecting this uncertainty that we've dealt with over the last handful of years. This shows what's called the Economic Policy Uncertainty Index. It's a widely used index that kind of measures economic policy uncertainty at a national scale. It's put together from a combination of mentions of economic uncertainty in 10 major U.S. newspapers, the agreement among economic professional economic forecasters, and then how many tax statutes are expiring in the next 10 years. So it's this combined index, and they normalize it to 100. And you can see in the last 10 years, it stretches back to 1985, and it kind of bopped around 100 from 1985 until the COVID period, when it spiked to around 500 or 600. Earlier today, I was like, how do I interpret this vertical axis? But 500 or 600 is five times the uncertainty that kind of is the norm. And then it returned to a more normal level through 2022, 23, 24. And then with the Liberation Day announcements and kind of the uncertainty that came about from all that tariff stuff, which is ongoing, but it kind of peaked most recently in April at a similar level as what we saw during the global pandemic. So pretty significant uncertainty. Thankfully, it's kind of it's reducing now. April was the most recent peak, and so May and June we're seeing some amelioration, so increase in that metric. Please, next one. Inflation expectations, kind of similar story. They were obviously increased in the immediate post-COVID era when we did have quite high inflation. It was getting back down towards where we kind of expect inflation to be around 2%, and then basically just peaked or shot up in recent months. We will see where that goes, but the most recent reading on that is expect inflation at around 6-7% over the next 12 months. So that's quite high inflation. We'll see if it comes to pass. The most recent inflation measurements aren't shown yet, but these are kind of people's expectations of what inflation is going to be. This is from that University of Michigan survey that's widely cited for national metrics. Next slide, please. This is another metric from the Michigan survey for the U.S. line. That's the gray line. And then the Kim Gardner Institute at the U put together an analogous measure for the state of Utah on consumer sentiment, on how people feel like the economy is going in their personal lives, and how they think it's going to treat them in the next 5 years, next 12 months. And it's kind of a combined estimate of those things. You can see the Utah line in red is consistently above the national level, so that's wonderful. But most recently, both those lines have dipped down. At a national level, it's dipped significantly lower than in the Utah line. But we can see that consumer sentiment is a bit lower than usual. Utah actually we're faring reasonably well in our thought. Next slide, please.
That's a question.
Yes.
So even though that sentiment, how does it line up with what actually happens?
Well, that's a great question.
Because we tend to be overly optimistic in Utah. But like, what's the reality? You know what I mean? Like, are we just like, la, 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 la?
Perhaps we're overly optimistic. Perhaps we're appropriately optimistic. I mean, the Utah indicators are kind of impressively robust and significantly outperform the nation. So that's a great question.
So would you compare it to like the Utah economic performance versus the national performance?
That's what I would be tempted to do with this. Yeah, in terms of job growth and inflation, that's what I would kind of compare that consumer sentiment against. But I haven't done it, so that would be an interesting thing to do. See if that's a useful leading indicator.
Yeah.
It's a finger on the pulse of how people are feeling, essentially. Yeah.
How do we compare to other states?
Not all states have this. I suspect a minority of states have it. The red line there is from the Gardner Institute of Views, so it's just for Utah, and I don't know how many other states have such a thing.
And all the things you've been showing us from survey says people, not economists.
The
charts you've been showing us are from people, not forecasts of economists.
Right. The Economic Policy Uncertainty Index includes some of that professional.
But most of this is Mr. and Mrs. Jones.
Right. kind of sentiment of sentiment of Mr. and Mrs. Jones so far. Yep. So anyway, consumer sentiment in the state remains pretty high, dipped recently, but remains in pretty good shape. Last little indicator I have here of the turbulence of the uncertainty and kind of volatility we've been through. These are graphs of the most recent calendar year back in January through now, a recession likelihood in the U.S. These are betting sites of events markets. So the Pauly market and Pauly, two websites. I have a Pauly account. It's kind of fun to play around with a couple of dollars. A couple of dollars from that. But this is recession likelihood. There's sort of a baseline recession likelihood of around 25% any given year. It's kind of an expected maybe there will be a recession or not. And you can see that it's quite up to about, at the peak here, it's kind of hard to see the numbers, but it's around 60% in the middle of the year, April and May, when everybody was kind of scared about what's going on with what's U.S. policy in terms of imports and exports and federal workforce. But it's come down quite quickly. So despite that kind of pessimism in April and May, it's come back down to essentially a baseline measure of around 25% in the most recent readings. So whatever this is worth, it's a whole bunch of different people putting their money online and saying, I think there will be a recession in the next 12 months from now. Next slide. Okay, getting into Utah's numbers. So here's our hard data of what's going on. Most recent job growth rate for the 12 months ending in May, 2.5%. This is really robust. It's among tops among all the states. And our unemployment rate, 3.2. That ticked up just a tenth of a percent from 3.1. But it's still essentially full employment. There's always a little bit of friction in the labor market of people leaving jobs and searching for a new job. So it's never going to be at zero, but 3 is a really great number. 3.2 is a great number. You can go to the next slide. We should get those U.S. numbers to compare. So the U.S. numbers in comparison, 1.1% job growth, 4.2% unemployment rate. Those are still pretty good for the nation. Utah are not necessarily, I'm inappropriately optimistic, but look at our numbers. They're so we're doing well, despite all this kind of uncertainty and keep wanting to say also, our numbers are looking really good. But you can do the next slide. This gives a little bit more historical view on Utah's job growth versus the rest of the states in the nation. The blue shaded band there in the middle is the 20th to 80th percentile. So if you're above it, you're in the top 10 states in the nation. If you're below it, you're in the bottom 10 states in the nation in job growth. And Utah, of course, is the red line. So we've kind of separated from the pack in the most recent months. If this stretched back farther in time, that red line will be consistently near the top among states. In the post-COVID era, we had such a fast recovery from the pandemic that other states kind of outpaced us a little bit in job growth for the last couple of years. And now we're starting to rise to the top again. So that's a look at our job growth over the last 5 or 6 years. And here's our ranking in the states. So we're third in the most recent numbers. It was at South Carolina and Idaho, just edged us out, but right there in the upper echelon of states in job growth. Next slide. This is a little bit more detailed look at the components of the Utah labor market. This comes from a survey called JOLTS, Job Openings, Layoff, and Turnover Survey from the Bureau of Labor Statistics. So we get a little better understanding of what's happening. There's a couple vertical indicators on this graph. The shaded gray bar is the COVID recession. The official arbiters of what makes a recession call that just a two-month thing. So it's a real thin little line, but that's where COVID hit, February, March, April 2020. The little blue vertical line is where the Federal Reserve began raising interest rates. And I'll direct your attention to that job openings line. Once the Fed started raising interest rates, that kind of started the trend consistently downward. So we've kind of been on this cooling trend. The job openings are still quite elevated, but they're kind of trending back towards a more normal range. This is pretty much what the Fed expected by raising rates. They started lowering them, whatever it was, 6 or 9 months ago, but then they put a pause on it. But anyway, those openings have been trending downward. The quits rate has also been generally trending downward. In the most recent months, it's actually kind of looks like it's going up, but compared to a year ago, it's a little bit above where it was. That quits rate is a nice indicator of worker confidence. So I'm confident I can quit this job and get a better job. The hires rate is kind of trending a little down. The layoffs is trending a little up, but there's no big red warning signs on this. This is kind of a cooling labor market that's still operating pretty well. Next slide, please. This is kind of a large overview of our labor supply and demand in the state over the last 25 years almost. The black line there is our labor supply. That's everybody age 16 plus who's either working or looking for work. So that's available workers. And then the shaded areas below, the green and the red, are existing jobs and job openings. So through the early part of the 2000s and into the 2010s, we had a kind of abundant labor force, more workers than demand for workers, and we expanded quite quickly. Post-COVID, we had that shortage of workers, labor shortages, so this kind of shaded area was significantly above where the labor supply is. That has kind of come back into line recently, and our labor force line is also kind of flattening out a little bit as our population growth has slowed a little. But they're kind of trending nicely in line with each other.
And this is Utah?
This is Utah, yeah. Next slide, please. This is just another look at those unemployment rates over the last 10 years or so. Utah at 3.2 and the U.S. at 4.2. That 3.2 that we're at is a little bit above where we've been for most of the last 10 years, but it's still pretty much a full employment type situation. The big outlier in this, of course, the dramatic spike associated with the pandemic era. Next slide. And then another state-by-state comparison is on unemployment rates. I think we're 8 or so on this graph, but you can see that we're still right up there in the top green graphs. Job openings by per worker is a measure of labor market tightness. So you recall from that JOLTS graph earlier about the job openings rates. This is just comparing the number of job openings versus the number of unemployed workers looking for work. So when that number is above one, it indicates that there's more job openings available than there are unemployed workers to take it. So the most recent reading is right about 1.4 openings per unemployed worker. That's down significantly from the 3 or so that we were at immediately post-COVID, but it's still above one, so it indicates kind of continuing tightness in the labor market. Those who are out of work ought to find themselves in demand from employers trying to fill positions. There's one more. And a little bit closer look at sort of the age breakdown of the demographics of who's not employed. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 age categories on this. I direct your attention to the green line. Really, I should try and make that quite a bit thicker. That is the large majority of the workers in the state, so-called prime age workers, age 25 to 54. And you can see that unemployment rate is holding pretty steady, right about 3%. It's kind of trending upward a little bit, but holding quite steady. Workers older than that experience really low unemployment rates. They've got the skills and the experience, and they don't find themselves unemployed, looking for work and unable to find it. It's the younger age categories that we see a little bit of, well, we see a significant increase in that unemployment rate in recent years as those labor shortages were lessened and teens found themselves a little less in demand. So that teen unemployment rate has raised to 11 or 12%. This is higher than it has been, but you know, pre-COVID, that's about where it was as well. So I wouldn't say this is a big sign of concern, but it just reflects sort of labor markets returning to a more normal state after this period of labor shortages.
And on the 20 to 24, it's also high, right? Not as high. So is that, is it the same thing as you're talking about with teens? Is there anything related to just 0 years of experience coming out of college or schooling? Or like, what's driving that?
Yeah, I think that's,
Bit of a cooling market.
I think it's employers are, you know, teens and young workers are sort of the last to be hired and are first to be fired when employers are looking to trim their payrolls or questioning whether they need to hire another employee. I've read some things that indicate maybe AI is contributing to a difficulty of young people entering the workforce and finding entry-level jobs. I don't feel like I have really reliable indicators that that's having a big effect, but it might be contributing a little bit. I think it's just a softening of the labor market, and so we see these rates coming back to kind of where they were pre-COVID.
Where do you get the data from? How do you know that a 17-year-old is unemployed?
So these all come from a survey called the current population survey. That's where all the state unemployment rates come from and the national unemployment rate. It's conducted by the Bureau of Labor Statistics and the Census Bureau. I think they kind of, they work in tandem to do it. And they survey 60,000 households every month. And so they get this sample of, they get this representative sample that they can glean all these insights from. So from that big national sample, I pulled out the Utah data and the age group categories. And each respondent will say, you know, this is my age, this is my gender, some other aspects. And then I am employed or I'm looking for work, but I can't find work or there's all kinds of stuff that's a great
person. So it's kind of subjective if somebody feels like they're employed or not. You know what I mean? Like if a 17-year-old has a seasonal job or whatever, is it like at that slice in time, like I am currently not working? Even though throughout the year they may, like, do you know what I mean? Like, I'm just so curious, like, how they're deciding somebody's unemployed.
It's not too subjective. The survey questions make pretty clear. I think they reference a particular day of the month. I think it's the 12th. And so they say, were you employed on the 12th of the month? Or during the pay period that included the 12th of the month. And did you work at least, I think it might just be 1 hour in that week, or there's some quantitative metric. So the subjectivity is limited, but I guess a person could enter incorrect answers.
But it just kind of depends when they ask the question, though, I guess.
Right, so I think that the teen employment rate, the teen unemployment rate would go way up at the end of summer. As they go back to school and they're not working. The other thing is you're only counted in the unemployment rate if you're looking for work. So if you're not looking for work, then you're not participating in the labor force and you wouldn't be included in some way. So this doesn't necessarily mean an unemployment rate of 10 or 11% doesn't mean 90% of 17-year-olds are working.
That's
how
it's like.
Yeah, it just means 90% of 17-year-olds who are looking for work can find a job.
We have a question online.
Yeah.
So Spencer asked if you have any data on urban versus rural.
Not this data. This is just state level. We do have unemployment rates for every county in the state. But we don't have it broken down by ages. I think the Census Bureau then puts out annual data that we might be able to get something like that, but not on a monthly cadence. Next slide, please. So where are these workers coming from? This is a graph showing components of population change. So where changes to Utah population are coming from, and it's separated into three main components here. So-called natural increase. That could be natural decrease if it was negative. But natural increase is births minus deaths. That's the blue component there. You can see that those bars are kind of decreasing over time as fertility rates are declining, the number of children per family is going down over time. You see this in every state in the nation. It's a little bit more accentuated in Utah, partly because Utah just has big families to begin with, so there's rather the decline. But that's been an aspect of our population change in recent years. The red component is domestic immigration. So these are folks moving to Utah from other parts of the U.S. You can see that really spiked immediately post-COVID when it made up the largest part of our population change. It's curtailed quite a bit in most recent years, I think largely attributable to quite expensive housing. So we got about I think Kim Garner just put out a report and said we have the ninth most expensive housing market in the nation. So I think that's contributing to that decline in domestic immigration. And then the green bars are international immigration, both coming to Utah from other countries. These data come from the Census Bureau, and last year, the data, those green bars were way smaller. And this year, the Census Bureau said, oops, we've been undercounting the number of international folks moving to Utah. And so this year, the numbers, the green bars for 22, 23, and 24 were adjusted up significantly. So that's been making up a large part of the growth in population in the state in recent years. Of course, with the change in administrations in Washington, D.C., I would anticipate that green bar is going to be much smaller in the next 4 years. And the red component is quite smaller than it was. So these are a couple components of where our workforce is coming from. So that bodes poorly for labor supply growth going forward. But that's what we're seeing in the data. And then the blue bars are an important aspect here, but it's going to be 16 to 20 years before those kids enter the labor force. So, you know, that natural increase, first minus this, those babies aren't working right here. Okay, next slide, please.
Then what was the source you called out for the housing stat that you were referencing?
Ken Gardner. I think they just put out an annual report on Utah's housing market. I think it just came out within the last week or so. I feel like I heard it on UPR. And I believe they said we have Utah's ninth most expensive housing market. Mm-hmm. I haven't read it in detail. Ken Gardner, yep. A little closer look at our industry breakdown, industry job growth. Actually, if you could go one more slide ahead, I'd prefer to do that one first. This is job change by major industry group in the state. And basically, we've got this is for the last 12 months and our most recent data, which is for May. So there's three big industries that have driven most of our job growth in the last year. Education and health services, construction, and manufacturing. And those have been big drivers of our job growth quite a while now. Government is, so those three are the big three private sector industries. Government growth remains quite robust. That has kind of been surprising to me that that's kept up so high. I thought it was kind of a rebound from pandemic sort of workers shifting around and taking higher paid jobs with the private sector. But that government job growth continues quite at a fast pace. It does include, to be clear, it does include public education and public health care, which makes up a majority of how this government category is tabulated. So just as a caveat, it's not all just public administration folks. And then trade, transportation, and utilities, it makes up a big section of our overall economy. That's retail trade, wholesale trade, transportation, truck drivers, warehousing. That's been kind of contracting a little bit over the last year. There's been quite a bit of weakness in the wholesale retail trade. If you could go back one slide, this is pretty much the same information, but it's just a percentage growth rates, if that's of interest. So there's the 2.5% growth rate that we saw earlier in this presentation, and then the percentage growth rates for all those other industries. Construction at 5.6, really fast growth in construction. 7.5% in that education and health services in the private industry, and 3.4 for government. So we have to look at our industry slides. If you go to
one more question.
Okay.
Do we know what kind of government jobs they are?
Oh.
Obviously different than K-12 or higher ed government jobs, but do they include things like solar overseas?
Yeah, so there's in our monthly press release, we have that government job tabulation broken into federal, state, and local. And then those three are all broken into two categories each. The federal is defense and non-defense. So the other Air Force Base would make up a large part of the defense line on our press release. So you could see that there. And then the state and the local are broken into education and other than education jobs. And I think in the most recent numbers, the state category was growing faster than the others, but even the federal category was still growing, which is a little surprising given all the cuts that we hear about and stuff. So, but anyway, all three categories are still expanding. If you could go forward, yep, and this is the last slide I have, just kind of reiterating the fact that Utah's economy, despite this sort of uncertainty that we've seen and volatility, this is a comparison of the level of initial unemployment claims for the last 3 years. The red line there is the most recent 2025 through approximately where we are halfway through the year. And you can see we're basically trending in a seasonally typical pattern compared to the last 2 years. So things are going well in Utah despite a lot of craziness that we've experienced over the last 6 months. So makes it easy to tell pattern stories. That's all I've got. Anybody has questions?
This was wonderful. Will we be able to get a copy of this?
Yeah, we sent it out. I always send it to my boss and all the bosses. They love it.
Okay.
So please get it. Okay. We have it. Yeah, it'll go out in a minute. Excellent. Yeah, we'll get it out to everybody. We'll get it out everybody tomorrow. We have it. Sorry, no. I'll get it from Nicole right now. Yeah, it's a good presentation. You don't do what I do, but I typically try and sum up what Ben said and highlight a couple of the things, and then I kick it off to my leadership, and they are always grateful. So I would encourage you to do the same. It's a good presentation. I always have this happy to be in Utah, but kind of nervous feel after the presentation as well, every time. It doesn't matter what kind of year we're in. I've been here long enough to see the unemployment go like this a couple of times. So anyway, thank you very much, Ben. Report out on committee. So we will, everybody remember to speak up loudly. I'm loud naturally. Speak up loudly because we still have several people that we need to hear. So we will start with our new apprenticeship chair, and she did such a good job. She literally got the assignment like a day ago and then got her notes this morning, and she's already killing it, so which is great. So Whitney, will you kick us off with updates on apprenticeships, please?
Yes, absolutely. And I don't know too many details, so I'm going to do my best again, but yeah. So the first is that we had a National Apprenticeship Day, an apprenticeship job fair at Miller Campus at the Salt Lake Community College. There was over 180 job seekers in attendance, and there was virtual reality career exploration there as well. There's a change in the month for National Apprenticeship Week, which means there's no apprenticeship summit in November, but it will be planned for the end of April in 2026. So that's the first piece. Second, the youth apprenticeship study was completed. So a youth apprenticeship study to identify barriers to expansion was conducted by the Utah Education Policy Center for Talent Ready Utah in June. And then we have Keith Sonderling of the Department of Labor visited Utah specifically to learn about the registered apprenticeship programs we have operating in the state. He made a visit to the Utah Electrical Training Alliance with Governor Cox. The Department of Labor sees Utah as a best practice model of how Department of Workforce Services works with job seekers and employers alike regarding the registered apprenticeships.
Thank you so much. Lots of things shifting. Remember, she mentioned that the change from November to April, which I think is so smart. I think it's better for high schoolers, but at the federal level they changed it, not because I thought it was good. Yeah, we'll take it. Matt had to step away for you. And Lindsay, are you taking it?
Yeah.
Oh, great. Matt had a lot of updates, and he's like, I'm sorry, I have to get on the road. So he reported out in executive committee, but has asked Lindsay to step in to report out on you for this meeting.
Yes. Starting committee, we're working on a lot of different projects. I'm going to have Amy present on one of the biggest ones, but we've been continuing to work on virtual reality opportunities for years.
The world population today is over 8 billion.
We talked a lot about what other applications we could add to those simulations that make sense in line with growing industries. For example, there's growing geothermal power plant in Beaver County and data center potentially in other rural parts of the state. So trying to figure out how we can build career exploration opportunities for those local rural youth. So we're looking at that, that continue to grow. We also are coordinating. We're going to have a great meeting. So excited that Stephen is letting us attend the Services to Individuals with Disabilities Committee in September, so we can talk about how we can support youth with disabilities and connect you to careers. So we're really excited about that opportunity. We also wanted to highlight thanks to Adult Education's amazing work, they have allowed both workforce development in our service area and also vocational rehabilitation access to their student information system so that we can share data, coordinate on students. We're able to message the instructors directly to the system and coordinate on what's going on. We can help the youth plan what's left in their pathway. We can see what credits are left. We can really detail into what's needed next on their pathway, and it also allows us to share data more efficiently as well. We're super, super grateful for them. They prioritize that for us, and we really, really appreciate all they've done. We're very responsive to their grateful as well. So we're really excited. It's a big change for us. We talked a little about the youth committee, and then I'm going to turn it over to Amy Graff to talk about a great youth event that we had that we're working on.
Amy, remind them who you are and what area you're responsible for.
I'm Amy Graff. I am the assistant director down in Central and Southwest Utah. So I've got Bell Therapy all the way down to Kane that I'm going to talk about. So big area to cover. But what we did a couple of months ago, so there was a Raising Kane event, which happens after the summit, happens at the beginning of the year. We kind of got the ball rolling there, working with both the chamber and the city to do a job fair of sorts with specifically the youth, so specifically the three high schools. There's a very small high school in Orderville, Kanab, and then right below the border in Segovia, Arizona. So we worked together to get employers on board, get the high schools involved. We actually got the high school so involved that they were willing to bus kids over to the job fair during the day. So we wanted to make sure that that happened prior to the end of the school year. We had about 30 employers, everything from mom and pop shops in Orderville all the way to national parks. So we had a really good turnout. We got to use virtual reality for one of our very first times, and testing it on a bunch of high school kids is kind of the best place to do it. So it worked out. They loved it. And we had about 100 attendees. Randomly enough, this is a kind of a negative on the thing, but we had the lowest attendance rate from Kanab High School that was right in town. But we've worked with them since, and at our next event, there's going to be a much higher attendance from them. So we're hoping to at least hit 150 students in Kane County. But the reason we're talking about it in the youth is we want to replicate that in some of the smaller counties across the state that don't necessarily have access to all of these bigger employers. And if the high schools are willing to bus them to a place, we would.
Thank you. We're good with youth. Okay. Stephen, serving individuals with disabilities.
All right. Thank you. Lots of things going on between April and June. We had a number of events. We had a business relations group that hosted the Spring Workability Career Preparation and Job Fair. We had 34 different business partners there, about 250 job seekers. So very good event. I was there wandering around and lots of good people. We had a very good business presentation on business relations services and a tour of Deer Valley. We had Ben Baldonado present a session called Accessibility in Workplace at the Utah Worksite Wellness Council Conference. In addition, Business Relations and UCAP provided an accommodation assessment and review for a library in Weber County. We presented at the Holiday Business Alliance Meet and Expert event. We had an in-person presentation and tour at the National Ability Center. We presented a title called Empowering Youth with Disabilities in Their Career Journey at the WBL Summer Conference. And then finally, we hosted a booth at the Disability in Utah 5K Run, Walk, and Roll event. So lots of fun. So lots of things going on, lots of activities. We're excited to have the youth group come join us for our meeting in September. And we invite all the rest of you to join us also at any of our meetings. They are open. Upcoming July 22nd is the ADA's 35th anniversary. We're going to have a virtual lunch and learn on that day. We already talked about on the 5th of August, there's the Tooele Career and Resource Fair, so that's a great opportunity. September 9th, the Employer Workshop for Recruiting, Hiring, and Retaining Individuals with Disabilities. On September 25th, we have the Disability in Utah Summit, the title being Building Resilient Workplaces, One Story at a Time. At that same meeting, we'll have our 51st annual Golden Key Awards, which is, again, that event is tremendous. We'll be holding it out again at the Zions Tech Center. Great facility and great event, always good things. And finally, October 7th, we've got the Workability Career Prep and Job Fair. And so info will be coming out. So you've got a lot of information in your packet on these events. Mm-hmm. So please feel free to refer to them. Questions, please let me know. And again, please, we'd love to have you join us at our committee meeting. Sarah, did I miss anything?
I don't think so.
Ben?
Yeah.
Okay.
Lots of very good stuff in here. So make sure you reference your packet for those online, reference your attachments. Thank you. Hey.
Yeah, career pathways. So career pathways, we've been kind of quieter lately because we had a transition of leadership. And so we had our first meeting last month in a while. So we're going to try to reactivate our energy again and step into a new action plan. So we didn't get to that as much because we had some good guest speakers that came on. People are really enthused and engaged with the VR headsets about the career exploration and want to figure out how they can utilize those more through the school districts. And I think there's some adult education departments that were wanting to use them as well. That was a lot of fun to learn about the VR headset, but I believe there's a couple of here that we'll be able to test out too after the meeting if you want to give that a try. And then also we had a good meeting or a good presentation regarding USERV and what USERV is all about. So Yvette from USERV shared about the One Utah Service Fellowship that was highlighted, which focuses on service to career pathways. Also highlighted the youth mental health support program, which provides support for youth mental health and also provides on-ramp for individuals to enter training program and build that support mental health. So those are two great presentations, and we'll have more focus on action plans and maybe collaborating with some other committees here momentarily.
Operations, Kim Josh, I can give you updates. Do you want to give updates?
You can go ahead.
So we did the St. George one stop, which we voted on. We have Spanish Fork coming up. So watch for dates for that. And Lehigh, if you're in those areas where you haven't had an opportunity to do a one stop lately, I think John would love for you to volunteer to get on that to get the certifications done. Those dates will be coming out soon. And then other than that, I think that's all for operations. Oh, no, Sarah had a little
stuff with the engagement committee.
Oh, the stuff
we have. I still owe you an email with the task board meeting when we had everybody take the employer engagement survey, right? Or the employer survey. And so we've had Sherm give us some wonderful feedback on it. But we would like to circulate it again to board members for feedback.
That would be great. We actually did talk about that in executive committee that you had engaged, because that was one piece. We were talking about operations and just the demographic of industries that are in the operations committee. And that subcommittee you have, that was specifically, I'm like, we need industry members on that employer survey. And I love that you're engaging Sherm, because if you'll remember, I've been touting this for years. Like, that survey kept going to my accountant and my payroll guy, and he did not care about those questions.
They've been awesome to partner, and then so they want feedback, and we'll get that feedback back to Zach, and then we'll do another, and Sherm is like, we are happy to send it out. So
that's great. And if the Salt Lake Sherm chapter can send it out, I think the response rate on that as well will go up, and you'll get better data, because sending it to the wonderful payroll and accounting clerks that your companies that file the unemployment claims are not the right body that needs to go to. If it can go to that HR body, that would be amazing.
Yeah, and we just want to make sure all the board has an opportunity to weigh in and give us feedback. And
so we should look for that between now and the next board meeting.
I'll send you an email.
Thank you. Yay, that's exciting. Thank you. That's very exciting. Okay, let me check to make sure I went through everything. I think I did. I hit everything.
Yes.
Okay. So do we have any public comments? Nobody online? Okay. Before we totally officially adjourn, so the reason we're here, it's July, it's our field trip time, which, by the way, we've already identified a field trip for next July, which I'm very excited about. We always do a field trip in July. So last year we were at the Utah Electrical Training Alliance program, the governor visited with the Department of Labor. Is that what they know? The Department of Labor. I've already mentioned this group. I came here last July for the One Stop certification. Just felt very strongly that everybody needed opportunity to witness what goes on at Metro and likely up in Ogden as well. But the services are the same. That's what we certify to, right? That's what we testify when we certify the centers, that the offerings and things going in our centers are universal. Everybody gets the same information and type of service. The clientele is a little different. And it's always hopping. If you walked in and just kind of observed, it's very different here. And I just wanted, and the heart, not that there's not heart at all the other centers, there is, I've seen it. But just witnessing the every minute of triaging and helping these clients that come in figure out what their dream is, right? Is really what I wanted to say. So I'm going to turn the time over to Weston. We have about, it's 45 minutes, right, for you? How much time are we looking at each?
I'm turning it
back
away
from us. That's good. So I think based on who we have here, we'll probably do about three groups that will go around. So there's five different stations. So we'll spend around like
5 to 10 minutes.
Five to 10 minutes in each station with that. So the five places we're going to have you visit is our job connection room. So that's where folks go to job search and use their computers. Just also spending some time up front here. We call our triaging. So when someone comes in, helping direct them, kind of seeing that. Then we have two spots upstairs. So one is going to be to your right, one's going to be to your left in a conference room. So we have some of our VOA counselors and the supervisor that'll be up there kind of talking about what they do as case managers. And then you can ask them questions. And then we also have our homeless support team that, again, to Megan's point, talks a little bit about the specific work that they do just due to the nature of the population being served here. We've got one of our homeless resource centers just around the corner. So they'll talk about what they do. And then one of the stations will just be here talking with Weston and his leadership team, and then just kind of going through what it's like and the folks that they're here. So feel free to ask questions. Yeah.
Nicole, if you have a minute after your tour, because the tour's nice, go spend some time at the triage center. Between our meetings, I was out there for a half an hour. I did it when I was in Ogden. And it's great just to be there and listen to the folks here, how they deal with the various individuals they come into contact with and what the needs are. Because they're varied and they're great.
They're so varied.
And it's really neat to listen. And I did. I just went out and stood by two different employees as they dealt with a variety of several different people in between our executive meeting and this meeting. And it's always wonderful to experience that and to have them also ask me questions. And they did. I'm happy to help, but it's wonderful.
From an HR standpoint, trying to ramp up and train somebody at a triage center to have them know all things, that boggles my mind. I don't know what that looks like. Has anybody have through their like social media feed or any of their feeds seen the EBT commercial about protecting your EBT debit card? Has anybody seen those yet? How come I'm getting them? Everybody else?
Much
terrible. Nobody's seen them yet. That was the thing that they brought up, the food stamps, essentially, which aren't food stamps anymore. They're on a card. They're SNAP. Mm-hmm. They're on a debit card now. And there's a ton of people that come out of the center experiencing a lot of fraud with it and essentially losing their food stamps. Because it's all the things that we all deal with on a daily basis, from fraud and awful people that try and steal our identity. So just there's a lot of campaigns around that right now. We're the only one seeing them. It's all over my Facebook feed. I don't know, whatever. That must be it. Yes, I will. So will you tell us what groups we're in, and then I'll kind of let you
Yeah, I'll do that after.
Okay, we are formally adjourning. Thank you, everybody that's online. You're missing out, but thanks for joining.
It's just a little.